It's a solemn subject that our brothers brought before us, and a needful one. By way of continuation on to what's on my heart, I'd like to turn to Acts 15. This is the subject of this chapter, is the question of do the Gentile nations, those of the Gentiles that believe in Jesus Christ, are they required to keep the law? Brother Matthew was talking about a little bit. And part of the conclusion is in verse 20. We write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. I'd like to pick up on the thought, the moral aspect that brother was talking about. Idols is one. The last words of 1 John, our little children, keep yourselves from idols. Things strangled in blood, life of the flesh is in the blood. That's God's due, is God's. We're not to take it in all the offerings that belong to God, the blood. When you think about it, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He shed his blood to wash our sins away. It's God's. But the part that I want to really pick up on is in the middle, fornication. It's a big word. Covers everything, having to do with the use of our body in a sexual way that's not according to God's plan. And that's one of the things with the subject we were just considering, that we need to remember with the Word of God and with these subjects. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, said, in the beginning, it was not so. And God created Adam and Eve, male and female, he created them. It's a thing of beauty. It's an incredible picture that God put in the very beginning of Christ and his church. We were talking earlier this morning about the unity of the testimony that Christ wanted here on earth, his church, a testimony to the world. And we talked a little bit about how the forces of Satan, the demons, prince and power of the air, is arrayed against the church to destroy that testimony because of the honor and the glory that the Christian testimony brings to Jesus Christ. And the other part of that that Satan works so hard to destroy is the family and the husband and the wife relationship. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, we know that the Spirit of God uses that as an illustration of Christ and his church, a husband and his wife. And it's a beautiful thing. No wonder the devil works so hard in our society, in every society, to destroy that picture, to foul that image, to take it away, because it brings honor and glory to God. A proper relationship between a man and a woman illustrates the proper relationship between Christ and his church. And it's a thing of beauty when it's right. Now I'd like to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 18. Flee fornication. That list that our brother Matthew read in Leviticus, all of it, flee from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You can steal. It's not a sin against your body. You can swear. It's not a sin against your body. But when you do something that's on that list, whether it's incest, cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, cheating in your mind on your future wife by looking at pornography, cheating on your future husband by imagining yourself in all kinds of relationships that aren't your real relationship, all that comes under that. All of it defiles and degrades. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. This is a beautiful thing to think about. I speak this afternoon to each one of you as if you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. And I trust that that's true of you. And if that's true, then God has sent His Holy Spirit to live inside you. Right inside you. In your body. Are you going to commit a sin? Am I going to commit a sin that is against that body, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? I'm not interested, and I'm very thankful for what our brother Matt's talked about this afternoon, that we have a merciful God. We have a gracious God. We have a loving God. We have a merciful and faithful high priest in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son cleanses us from all sin. And that is an absolutely wonderful thing. But let's not take advantage of it. Let's let the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge that if Christ died for us, we ought to live for Him. Therefore, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. This isn't talking about shaking hands. This isn't talking about tapping somebody on the shoulder. It's talking about sexual touching in a way to lead to more. What does he say? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Fathers to daughters. There's appropriate touching between a father and his daughter. Don't go with inappropriate touching. To that your daughter might perceive as being sexual. You may mean nothing, but be careful. Guard against it. Boyfriend, girlfriend. We just read that your body is not your own. Let's go on here. Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Interesting expression, power, similar to the one in 1 Corinthians 11, the subject of head coverings and recognition of authority. I believe Darby translates the word as authority. Verse 4, the wife hath not authority of her own body, but the husband. The husband doesn't have authority over his own body, but the wife. Part of this came to my attention and came to my mind because some of you live in the city of Toronto. And in the city of Toronto, they hired a chaplain for the Muslim police officers. And he expressed his views on the man-woman relationship. And I understand them, I read them, their traditional Muslim views on how man and woman go together. Interestingly enough, very similar to the views of 100 or 60 years ago or 150 years ago. Really, what the women's movement, the feminist movement of today, has fought against for many years, that a woman is property and a woman is a sex object. That same mentality is what he expressed. And what I want to cover in the next few minutes is the truth of Christianity. Because part of our heritage is not that. What we have here in front of us, this concept in verse 4, for a husband and a wife, is totally different. Take a moment, if you're married, just turn and look at your wife. Look in her eyes. Wife, look in your husband's eyes. Just do it. That person you're looking at, that you looked at, if you're the husband, she's the one that has the authority over your body. She's the one that gets to say yes or no. And the wife back, when you're looking at your husband, he's the one that has authority over your body to say yes or to say no. And there's a verse in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I'm sure you probably know it, that no man yet ever hated his own body, but loves it and cherishes it. Only sick, mentally disabled, mentally challenged people, people with mental problems, hurt their own bodies. Don't hurt the body, your body, whose eyes you are looking into. Treat it with benevolence. Treat it with respect. Treat it with love. That covers a lot of you in this room, husbands and wives. Some of you are younger. You're single. The remarkable thing about the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians is that he points out that being a eunuch and single for Christ is more honorable, if I can put it that way, than being married. Because you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's the relationship you have with, when you're single. But if you're single today and you're in a relationship or you're considering entering into a relationship with a young woman or a young man, then what I put forward to you in the first verse of chapter 7 is keep your hands off. Keep them to yourself. No sexual touching. Think about it. If it didn't work out, do you want the woman that you're seeing to have to tell a future husband what you did to her? What will that future husband think about you? And if you're the young woman, would you really want to tell what's happening right now in that vehicle that you're in? Or that room that you're in alone? You really want to tell somebody else in the future what you did if this relationship doesn't work out? Now that's from a human point of view. Our brother was mentioning, Brother Wally was mentioning, with God. He is always with you. His Holy Spirit is inside you. If you remember that, that he is with you, do you still want to do it? Yes, your old nature does. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put the guards in place to protect your relationship and keep it pure. Because there's incredible rewards for going God's way and staying pure. Pure in your mind, pure in your heart, pure in your body. That's what you are, spirit, soul, and body for Christ. And you know, in this seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians as well, it talks about what happens when a husband dies. They're free. Romans chapter 7 talks about it, that the wife is no longer under the power of her husband once the husband dies. And you know what that means? That means that if you're a widow or a widower in the room today, you go back to that relationship between you and Christ, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Your full attention and your full heart of love can go out to him, and you can feel his coming back to you. So there are absolutely beautiful things in the Word of God. The whole law is fulfilled in the commandment practically, love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's keep that in mind. Our brother Matthew reminded us that those who do not know Christ as their Savior need to know him. And that's the first place to start. And we need to have compassion and love for one another, because you know your own heart and I know mine. Philippians chapter 2 tells me, I know my own heart, and I ought to esteem every single one of you in this room as better than me. So don't look at somebody who's fallen into adultery and think, that person is no good. Look at yourself and know that is in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. That my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't look at the person who has same-sex attraction tendencies and think they're terrible. Same thing that I just said applies in their case for you. Let him that thinks he stand take heed lest they fall. But remember what Matt was talking about. We serve a loving, caring, compassionate God. He gave his life, paid a price to buy me and to buy you. And he wants us. He wants all of us to be committed to him. He doesn't want our computer games interrupting our fellowship. He doesn't want our reading material interrupting our fellowship. He doesn't want what we watch on television or on the internet to destroy our fellowship either. He wants to have the fullest possible relationship that he can with you and with me. And that's the ultimate thing, that you and I each individually need to be connected to our Lord and to our Savior. If we're married, then it becomes a threefold cord. Me, 100% for my wife, Esther. Esther, 100% for me. And both of us, 100% for the Lord. That's a threefold cord. But if it's a twofold cord, it works too. You and the Lord together. I am weak. He's strong. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen. Blessed God, our Father, we trust this is the true expression of our hearts. Keep us. We're passing through a world full of contamination, but we're so thankful for the clarity of thy precious word. Help us to walk in its light. We give thanks, Father, commending ourselves to thee for the rest of the afternoon. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.